Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. So earlier in the week, as I was getting ready for the weekend, I looked the scriptures up, and then on one of the groups that I'm part of, we started, we chat with each other a little bit about the different things in scripture, ideas, stuff like that. And so one of my friends posted, you know, really having a hard time getting inspired for the gospel, I'm not sure what to do. And so I replied, I said, yeah, this is not my favorite gospel. It's just really hard to preach on. She said, well, oh, why is that? I said, well, it's so violent. And I just don't know. And I always struggle with it because it's one that doesn't always seem appropriate for children. And she says, I don't get that at all. And so we kept having this conversation. Eventually, I was like, make sure I'm reading the right gospel. Well, I had been preparing my sermon for next week's gospel, which is the gospel about the beheading of John. Which is not a very, not an easy gospel at all. And we have a baptism today, and I was like, I really don't want to read this particular gospel on a baptism. It's a joyous occasion. You know, it's really struggling. It's violent. And so we had this very bizarre conversation. And she's thinking, how is sending out the apostles two by two violent? And how is, like, you know, going where you're supposed to go and serve, you know, this is really funny. Then I showed up last night, as I'm preparing to preach, and Fran's not here, of course, and if you probably noticed in your bulletin, the wrong gospel is printed. So I'm not sure what God is up to about us not talking about sending out, but there's something going on. There's a great line in this particular gospel. I always love when these kind of show up. It's a sort of a Forrest Gump line. I don't know if you heard it. Whenever you go to a house, stay until you leave. Did you hear that? I just love that line in the Bible. But this is a little bit about Jesus sending out people into the world. We get the first part where Jesus is back in his hometown. And so he's back where the people know him. And the people sort of know him too well. Does that make sense? They're like, hey, this is so-and-so's brother. This is the carpenter's son. And he's doing sort of crazy, wicked things. And we're not sure about this. Jesus is still able to minister, but then he goes and he says to his apostles, it's kind of interesting what he says. He says, I want you to go out. He says, first, I want you to go out two by two. He doesn't say, go out by yourself and have a solo show. He says, go out with a partner. And wherever you go, stay for a while, and the brilliant line, and then leave. But he also says, if you go somewhere and people can't hear you, shake off the dust off your foot, move on. In other words, try to find places where the message can be received. Try to find places where people can receive you. And while they're receiving you, stay and do the work I call you to do. But do it together. That's a key thing. And then he goes on and we hear a little bit more. So think about that for a minute, about what it means to do ministry or to have faith or to do something together. To do it two by two. Whenever Jesus sends people out, this is what happens. Jesus always sends them out in pairs or in some other combination. And I think it's sort of an important thing, not just sort of, but it's an important thing for us to pay attention to. Our general convention for the Episcopal Church's meeting, for those of you who might not be familiar with the Episcopal Church, every 3 years, people from all the different parts of the country, 110 dioceses, get together and they have a time of prayer, a time of discernment, a time of conversation. People are elected, our bishops get together and they vote on things and different stuff like that. Our presiding bishop, Bishop Curry, you know, the person who preached at the royal wedding, just in case you didn't catch that, he gave a rousing sermon to start us off, and he started with something that's we're going to be hearing about, both in our congregation, but also throughout the Episcopal Church, about a call to be the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement, to be the way of love. So if you heard his sermon that he gave at the wedding, he sort of touches on this. I'm gonna emulate him a little bit, so you can kind of get it. You know, if it's not about love, it isn't about God. All right. Kelly and I have decided that from now on we're going to preach like that. If you haven't heard him preach, he's a fabulous preacher, and he's also just an incredibly good person, and he's an incredible leader. And I'm grateful to have him as our presiding bishop. But he talked about something in particular. He's launching us into thinking about this way of love or practices for a Jesus-centered life. And I want you to listen to this for a minute. And think about Jesus sending us out two by two into the world. And these are the things that he says. To turn, to learn, to pray, to worship, to bless, to go, and to rest. There'll be a test next week. Turn, pause, listen, and choose to follow Jesus each day. Learn. Reflect on Scripture each day, especially Jesus' life and teaching. Pray. Dwell intentionally with God each day. Worship. Gather in community weekly to thank God, to praise God, and to draw near to God. To bless. To share faith and unselfishly give and serve. Go. Cross boundaries, listen deeply, and live like Jesus. And finally, rest. Receive the gift of God's grace and peace and God's restoration. Now, some of those themes are certainly themes that we hear all the time. And in a few moments, we're going to have a baptism, which is a great celebration as somebody begins their walk in life. We're going to baptize Maeve, who is this beautiful child. And we're going to make promises. And you're going to hear similar promises to those seven things in our baptismal covenant, especially the last five questions. And maybe that doesn't strike you, but what does it mean? You know, one of the things when I read that and I heard Bishop Curry talk about it is that we're being called not just to faith on Sundays, but to faith 7 days a week. We're being called not just to faith when we think about it, but faith in everything we do. We're being called to a life of faith, a life of love in a broken and sometimes difficult world to be in. How many of you grew up watching Mr. Rogers? Okay. How many of you had children that watched Mr. Rogers? So you watched it too. How many of you have been able to go out and see Won't You Be My Neighbor, the movie, the film, the documentary? I strongly encourage you at some point when you have a chance in your life, whether you get to the theater, whether you just rent it when it comes out on video, to take a listen and to look at it, because it's an incredible documentary about one person's call to live out the gospel in lots of different ways. Now, that particular path for Mr. Rogers ended up being doing a very gentle television show. And I remember watching this. My mom was really, she kind of had some strange ideas about TV. Like, you shouldn't watch it. And so I was limited to 30 minutes of television a day, okay? And I could bank it. So if there was a show I wanted to watch that was an hour long, or if I wanted to watch something 2 hours long, I had to save up my time, okay? So I'd watch Mr. Rogers or The Electric Company, sometimes Sesame Street. Those were things that I was allowed to watch and loved. But I could save my time up for, you know, Dukes of Hazzard. I'm not sure how I can preach on Dukes of Hazzard. I have to work on that. But I remember watching the show, right? And what did you learn? Well, you learn to hang your coat up and put a cardigan sweater on. You learn to tie your shoes. You learn about the people in your neighborhood, the postman, the police officers, the different workers. You learn about time, you learn about chores, you learn about all the different things that people do, and you have little interviews, and you did that. And when you watch the show, it's pretty boring, and it's pretty slow. Of course, it's for little kids, but it's gentle, and it's soulful. And when you go to the documentary, you'll recall some of the things that maybe we won't do. How many of you have ever been to a Monday Thursday service where we wash feet, right? Okay, so there was a particular scene in the movie and in his life, when we were going through a time of segregation and when people were fighting about public pools having different people of different races. And in one scene, he has his friend who is African-American, who's a police officer, and they get in the pool and they cool their feet off. And we don't realize that this was a very subtle gospel message to a whole lot of people. And if you know the story of the washing of the feet, you see Mr. Rogers then take a towel and dry the feet of his neighbor. Now for us, maybe that isn't all that radical a thing to see, but in the 60s on television, it certainly was. And what we might not realize is how much faith was critical to him. Critical to who he was. He was an ordained Presbyterian minister, somebody who loved the church and loved God and loved people, and found his calling in making a simple little TV show for children and spreading the message of the way of love. A really strong message that I think sometimes we miss today and we need. So I want you to think about this week. I'm going to send a link out through email, and we'll do it on Facebook as well, a copy of Bishop Curry's sermon where he really gets into this call to the church. And I'll also send the materials out, but I want you to start thinking and praying about what it means to live this way in your life. How many of you made an ethical decision this week? Anybody? All right, how many of you bought something this week? Anybody buy something? All right, you made an ethical decision. We might not think about this, but every little thing we do in our life is a chance to live out our faith. How is buying something an ethical decision? Whatever it is you bought, do you know where it came from? Do you know who made it? Do you know how the labor was treated? Do you know where the materials came from? Do you know how it got to the store or to the place where you bought it? Do you know how it impacts the environment? Maybe we don't think this way, and maybe we don't want to think that way, but that's what it comes down to. How many of you were around other people this week? Right? How many of you talked to folks? Okay. You had a chance to love them as Jesus would love them. Even in the small interactions, whether it's just passing someone or the engagement we have in that same purchase, or whether it's the neighbor that we talk with or the people at church or our coworkers or fellow students or the people we send texts to, however it is that we're interacting with others, we have a chance to love them as Jesus would love them. And maybe we don't want to think that way, but really our faith is something that we're called to live out every day. And the amazing thing is when we do it, incredible things can happen. So in the gospel, Jesus sends us out two by two to love each other. Jesus sends in two ways. He sends first, he says, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, go out and baptize them. And then he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And these two messages are the core of the gospel. In other words, welcome people into the family, into the faith, into the household of God, and love them and love God. And that's at the core. So I want you to think about that, pray about it, and think about what it means, and listen closely again to the words that we say today as we prepare for this baptism. And then what I want you to really take away from the sermon is that if you go somewhere, right, then you're going to leave it to you. Amen.